Welcome to EDU 332 podcast by myself. My name is Ida, Hillary, Mary, and Melissa. Today, the topic of discussion will revolve around the implementation of ESL programming in grade school education. More specifically, we will be exploring the recent influx of English learners in new destinations, such as Central Pennsylvania, as well as the reaction that these students create in our local schools.
Over the years, we have seen instances where the implementation of these programs have caused great opposition in schools and even within entire communities.
In some research conducted in bilingual classrooms, it has constantly returned results in which the students have performed better than those in English-only classrooms. This was a study done in 2005. But the most recurring arguments against bilingual education are the cost of the programs and that having English as the official language would create greater unity.
As various states have considered constitutional amendments making English the official language, legal scholars have also examined the constitutional provisions that apply to language rights issues within the classroom, workplace, courtroom, and social service agencies. In Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, one can say that the vast majority of schools and businesses favor the English-speaking majority. Unlike schools in urban communities with staff dedicated to these language-specific programs, rural areas, on the other hand, have had little reason to equip themselves with supplemental programming and curriculum for English learners. Recently, an influx of non-English-speaking population have been noted in central Pennsylvania. Lewisburg and our neighboring towns have not been immune to it, and in our segment, we will discuss some ways in which our local schools are reacting to this new and unique group of students.
A great example of proactive school initiatives can be found in Liberty Valley Intermediate School of the Danville Public School District. Here to talk a little bit about recent curriculum changes and school services is Mr. Chris Johns, who is the principal at Liberty Valley, and Ms. Dawn, the school's newly hired ELL program coordinator.
I am the principal here at Liberty Valley Elementary School. We have all of the district's third, fourth, and fifth grade students here. It's about 500. This is my fifth year here as the principal at Liberty Valley.
Very similar to Mr. Johns, I'm a non-traditional educator as well. I graduated from Bucknell, dual major in Japanese studies and economics. I work in K through 12. We are about 2,500 students as a district, which is small. It's a very rural school district. We are 91% Caucasian. We do have a lot of students who speak other languages, but they're not deficient. And it's rare when we do have ESL students moving in. It's hard to even keep them. A lot of times they tend to be more transient. So they may be here for a year or two and then leave.
Dawn supervises our ESL program, but we have a teacher who is itinerant between all four buildings. K to 12, kind of like Dawn goes around. Any student that's identified as an ESL student, they spend a portion of their day here for a couple hours, here for a couple hours. So they go around and support the students as needed.
So that teacher will pull those students out and work with them. Sometimes it's individually, sometimes it's in small group because especially with some of our ELLs, they benefit from the conversational piece of it. So we try to pull them in with other ELLs if possible. Our ESL teacher is wonderful.
It is important, however, to acknowledge that one does not need to go too far to find school policy that attempts to meet the unique needs of English learning students. Pennsylvania is an example of this. This state is ensuring itself that students who need it have access to programs such as Limited English Proficiency, otherwise known as LEP, and English Language Learners, or ELL, in their school districts. For example, according to the Pennsylvania Language Proficiency Standard, every school district shall provide a program for each student whose dominant language is not English for the purpose of facilitating the student's achievement of English proficiency.
The law is in Pennsylvania that we have to provide services within so many days, so there's a home language survey that's required in every school district. So when a family, anytime they register, there's a complete packet that they fill out. One of those forms is a home language survey form. As soon as a parent says that this is the language I speak in the home, if they indicate it's English and something else, we look into to ensure that they are proficient. There's a test that we administer right away then to the student if we suspect that there may be any limited English proficiency, and that determines whether they qualify for ESL services. Some students may need very little support at this point. Maybe it's every other day. But when a student comes in new and doesn't speak any English, and we have a few of those, our teacher meets with them every day and tries to provide more intensive support. And then, of course, within the classroom, our teachers are always accommodating them. modifying assignments if need be. We try to scaffold all the instruction to provide the best opportunity for success for those students. We say in our district that we provide services regardless of label. They should still be provided that service, whether it's enrichment or reteaching or, you know, some type of intensive support.
Fortunately, because we're a small district, we're able to provide the services on a more concentrated level to those who need it. Part of the issue that we run into at times here is when someone comes, say from Puerto Rico or some other place, we at times have problems getting paperwork. So there's times where we'll start from scratch. And there have been times when we look at each other and said, okay, I think they're appropriate for fourth grade. And then we learn, no, they're really supposed to have been in a different...
In that case, we'd start them lower. But as they acquire the language and do better, if they're capable to move up, the parent then works with us to determine if we should move them ahead.
When it's an ESL student that's in our program, I know that there's been times too in the past where we've, you know, tried, because the teacher will say, okay, the kid is struggling in the class. Well, yeah, we understand that. But then we have to determine whether is it a language issue or is it truly some sort of disability. We try to, within the structure of their day, we really try and do a lot of different things for individual kids. And, you know, that's a perfect example of that.
In the past, we have seen the programs which cater to English as a second language and English learner curriculum have had to overcome conflicts in order to be effectively incorporated into American education.
Here, we see an array of other federal programs taking the responsibility of making sure that every student is receiving the services necessary for academic achievement.
One of these federal programs is the Migrant Education Program, specifically designed to meet the needs of migratory students, providing services for English learning students who's hand in hand with their mission. Here today is the program coordinator of the MEP site in Hazleton, Ms. Sandra Medina Lopez.
Partnership with the Hazleton School District, we make sure that they serve our students, that our students are enrolled, and we track the students by looking at the grades, attendance, and all the important things.
They have a program, you know, where the child goes to English classes, and it depends on how well prepared the child is in their first language.
They support the child, and they offer extra services. They offer ESL. The ideal school will be all the teachers certified ESL. Anyone from any content area should be ready and prepared for ESL, but that's not the case. During the regular school year, we do not supplant any of the services that are given by the school district. We only supplant when we do summer programs, after school programs, or Saturday programs. We check the data. If my students are below basic or basic in English, I have to, in the after school, Saturdays, or summer, provide classes to better that situation.
What we do is advocacy for children.
We go to the schools all the time. We talk to the guidance counselors, to the principals. We establish programs with other organizations in the community to make sure they receive services. We have to work together as a team.
Unfortunately, there are cases in which schools alone are not able to meet all the needs of their non-English speaking students.
This is better for all kids. Everybody's going to benefit somehow from being together. We hope then that that exposes them to the culture a little bit more, and then feeling like we are slowly going to get more ESL students, we're more aware of them and more aware of their needs, and we want to be inclusive.